Alrighty, what is up, party people? We are back with another solo episode of Trail Talk. Today we are out on Faulty Towers. That's what we're going to run. As always, thank you to Cardo for the comms. They make it super easy to hear myself, super easy to talk. They make it easy to communicate when I have someone doing this with me. Also, thank you to Onyx. That's how we're tracking this. That's how you can jump down into the link and you can see exactly where I recorded this and how it went. As far as having someone with me in recording, I'm doing this one solo again today. So this is another kind of follow-up episode. I've done a lot of talks with people, talking about a lot of things, and kind of my goal is to broach the subject or cover the subject of, you know, the side-by-side influx in the off-road world. There seems to be some friction there a little bit. It's getting better, but it's a fascinating subject. I think it's kind of interesting. I've talked with a bunch of people about it. Now, I'm going to post kind of a part two to the last thing I posted, which was, you know, what I wish full-size people understood about side-by-sides. This is going to be coming from the other perspective of what I wish side-by-side people kind of understood about the full-size off-road community and what goes into making that. There's kind of three points I want to cover, and we'll cover them, but right now we're going to get going. Like I said, we're on Faulty Towers. You can jump down. Follow this exact route. I'm going to upload it, see exactly where we went. But yeah, Cardo's providing the comms and Onyx is telling me where to go, so I stay on trail. Okay, the first thing that I want to cover about what I wish side-by-side people or people in UTVs or people especially that are new to UTVs understood is that, and this isn't a dig, the side-by-sides are the most capable thing out of the box that you can buy. That comes with some really, really, you know, exciting things. Like, they're extremely capable. You can do 70 miles an hour across the desert. You can crawl rocks. You can do all of this. Things that you can't really do in a full-size Jeep or Toyota or Bronco, even if it's a Raptor, even if it's a, you know, Recon on 35s. The reality is a side-by-side is more capable out of the box than any of those vehicles. And part of the reason for that is not just the capability of the machine itself, but the fact that it can go home on a trailer. So that's one thing that, you know, I think we need to be aware of. When most people are off-roading their Jeeps, unless they've dumped a bunch of money and time and effort into building them, they still have to drive them home. They have to go to work the next day. That vehicle is still an integral part of their life outside of off-roading. And that's an important thing to note, because it reflects in the way most people will drive their vehicle. So, as side-by-side people, you might be thinking, oh man, all of the Jeep guys are slow, all the full-size guys, why are they just taking so long on the trail? Keep in mind, you don't have to drive your side-by-side to work. They probably do, and they're out enjoying the trail same as us, and they have every single right to enjoy it at the pace that they want. And honestly, side-by-side people can kind of look like jerks if we just come in and speed through and, you know, tear things up. That's just one thing to keep in mind. Be considerate of others and be considerate of the fact that other people have to take their rig home. And that's not fun, obviously, to pile up a side-by-side. But it's not like you roll your daily driver and then you're stuck and you can't go to work and all those other things I mentioned. There's a large difference in that. That was one of the things. I think I'm going to have more than three things as I talk about this. So I'm just going to keep going. Along those same lines of them not being as capable, not being, you know, as on a trailer or not being able to be trailered home and stuff like that, to get a Jeep or a Bronco or something into this level of capability that a side-by-side is takes an enormous amount of effort and time and knowledge and commitment. And that is something that I do think we're seeing more of from side by side side of things, and from that side, off-road side of things, is there's more, you know, building and like, oh, we're gonna take this, and you know, CA Tech has, you know, updated knuckles for the new Maverick R and stuff like that. But the majority of people can just jump in a side by side and just go. Majority of full size rigs that have the same capability is a lot smaller. It kind of breeds a different sort of mentality, to be honest. It's not a bad thing. I definitely think that the UTV scene, with them being as capable as they are right out of the box, is the way to go. Obviously, I'm sitting in a Polaris Turbo R. I'm not sitting in a Jeep. But if you have to put the effort in to making something extremely capable, if you are taking a Jeep, even if you take a Rubicon, and then you say, you know what? These axles aren't going to hold up. I need more clearance. I need to go to 30, 40-inch tires. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, 40-inch tires seems to kind of be like the everybody's doing it tire size. But to get a Jeep to that level either takes buckets of money or a lot of time and a lot of knowledge. And the people that are in full-size rigs doing that kind of work and putting in the effort to build that, you have to admit, that is a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment to being out on the trails in the most capable way possible, which a lot of side-by-side owners do not have. There's a handful of people, and yes, everybody likes to build their side-by-side, but or add their own tweaks and cosmetic things and cages and whatever, but I don't think we've hit a point where it's like, oh, I'm axle and engine swapping this to reach this crazy level of rock crawling capability or whatever. So that's one thing that I want to point out, is that if you come across people in Jeeps on the trail, remember that they have poured their heart and soul into probably getting their vehicle to where it's at. And it's, you know, it's something that they are extremely proud of doing, which, I mean, it's cool. I like it. I come from the Jeep world. One of my favorite things to do when I get like snooty looks from people in Jeeps is to just go start talking to them and be like, hey man, how's your trusses? What'd you do? You did truss? Okay. Oh, you're on a 14 bolt. That's crazy. Do you have any issues with clearance? And that's the kind of thing that, like, I don't think the side-by-side world has as much of yet, which isn't a problem. Like I say, they're out of the box. They are more capable. But it does, it's kind of an easy mode. You don't have to go through the struggles of, I've broke three axle shafts, fine. I have to upgrade the axles. The V6 is, you know, dropping a cylinder or whatever the 3.8 is known for. I've got to go swap an engine. I mean, okay, Polaris guys, Can-Am guys, yeah, there's some engine swaps and rebuilds more or less that you have to do. But the level of dedication to the build, I don't think is there as much. The other thing that I want to point out, and it's actually very, very pertinent for where I'm at on the trail right now. I'm on a section of trail called Bobsled. It's part of Faulty Towers. I'm going uphill on Bobsled. The thing that the side-by-side world does that I wish they would understand how this can be a real nuisance to others in full-size rigs is speed. I'm in a Razor Turbo R. Allegedly, the top speed where the governor comes in on these is about 84 miles an hour. Not saying I've ever found that. Wink, wink, nod, nod. But that is hauling the mail. That is so incredibly fast. That's, like I say, even doing that in a Bronco Raptor is going to be an entirely different experience. In something like this Razor, you know, we've got something to the tune of 18 inches of travel, giant long arm, independent front, independent rear suspension, stuff that can just soak through bumps, stuff that can just haul. And that makes it, you know, tempting to say, I'm going to just go haul butt. I'm going to go cruise. I'm going to tackle this trail as fast as I possibly can. Because it's fun. Like, let's face it. As an adrenaline junkie myself, like, I love running it. I love pushing it hard. That section of the trail, fastest time up it, because I've timed it, 58 seconds. Okay. Where that becomes a problem is, what happens when you do that and you have, you know, you're making the turns, you're coming around, you're really pitting it in, you can feel the suspension settling into the corners, it's doing just right, and then you come around the corner and there's a group of Broncos, Jeeps, Toyotas, ATVs for that matter, anything like that, just sitting there. Or not even just sitting there, but like, if you're doing 50 miles an hour and you come around a corner and someone's doing 20, that's a 30 mile an hour difference. You're coming up on someone at 30 miles an hour faster, even just at that speed. The speed thing can be a real problem. And I think that it mostly comes back to respect and being courteous. And for example, on that section of the trail there, when I want to go open it up on that trail, and this is one of the biggest things that Cardo has like done as a safety thing for me, is that when I want to go open it up on that section of the trail, I put someone at the top with a set of Cardos and I put someone at the bottom, me in the car with a set of Cardos. The guy at the top's job is to say, hey, make sure nobody comes down this. I don't want to get into a head-on collision. We don't want to have any sort of accidents, run-ins. Nobody wants to end up in the hospital. And I think that as a UTV community, we could be better served if we took actions like that more seriously. I hear it time and time again. Side-by-sides are fast. They tear up the sand. They do this, that, or the other. I think that we could make great strides in improving our image if we could take the courteous steps to do things like that so we don't run around corners and, you know, blow past people, jump into, like, just think about it. Like, if you're in a slower vehicle, you don't want to just be passed at freaking Mach Cheetah, and you don't want to run into somebody. That's something that we should take very, very seriously. And we should probably police our own on it a little bit more than we do. Okay, I'm not going to make it all the way through Faulty Towers on this one, I just realized. But that's okay. I'm literally probably just going to jump into the second half right here is the only thing. The last and final point that I kind of want to touch on in this is just overall, be courteous. You are in a UTV. If, in my opinion, you are in the best off-road vehicle that exists. That's just my opinion. Obviously, everybody else likes what they like. I think UTVs are where it's at. I made a wrong turn, fellas. That's okay. We'll turn around. Onyx was leading me right, but I was leading myself wrong, so can't really blame him. You are in a UTV. You are in an incredibly capable machine. It's kind of that Batman thing. With great power comes great responsibility. UTVs used to be a lot less gnarly, for lack of a better term. They used to be, you know, a 50-inch wide machine is basically a four-wheeler with a cage. And quite frankly, they just weren't as capable, and you couldn't get into as much trouble with one just because they didn't have the capability. You're talking today, the Pro R, the Maverick R, Segway Supervillain, ZX10 from CF Moto, I think that's what it's called. Andy, don't shoot me. Are all, you know, above 180 horsepower in a 2,000-pound machine that is 74 inches wide or wider, and also the same wheelbase as a side-by-side, or I'm sorry, as a full-size rig, if the four doors. The reality is that kind of vehicle out here is a weapon. It is. It's just incredibly, I'm all over. I'm just getting messed up left and right on the map. It's incredibly capable. It's phenomenal. But you have to remember what you're driving, then you have to remember that everybody else around you isn't driving the same thing. And that is not to say that anybody driving a full-size rig is like in an inferior product. I will tell you right now, I have people that I wheel with that have Jeeps with, I don't know, 800 horsepower V8s on 40-inch tires. And these are people that I was like, oh, yeah, on the sand dunes, watch this. Because, you know, they're people I know. It's fine. I'm not blowing past some random group of people just trying to enjoy themselves. But I thought I was going to pass them. And my buddy in the Jeep, guess what? Not happening. He can hang in an 800 horsepower Jeep. But a lot of people aren't that. Again, we go back to that first point. A lot of people are in the daily driver. A lot of people need that vehicle to get home. And a lot of people are doing, exploring the outdoors in the best way they can with the equipment they have that works the best for them. And it's important that you don't just blast past people, because we need to all share the outdoors and we all need to come together to keep ourselves and keep the off-road community open to everybody else. So that's kind of the things that I wish UTV people, side-by-side people, knew about what I think Jeep owners and full-size owners think or how they operate. And we're getting kind of to the end of Faulty Towers. But to the end of this talk, we're not to the end of Faulty Towers. But anyways, don't forget to like and subscribe. If you disagree with me, leave a comment. My whole aim with all of this is to talk to people and expand the off-road industry. I have no qualms with anybody as long as you're out enjoying the outdoors and you're doing it respectfully. But if you think differently, if you think that there's something I missed, drop a comment. Let me know. We'll catch you on the next one.